In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it is cold this morning. Our furnace suffered a breakdown a few days ago, and we will be without heat in the church for at least a week. When I entered the church this morning, the thermostat said it was 45 degrees. It's not so bad for about 10 minutes or so, but if you're here for a couple of hours, that kind of cold just kind of sinks down into your bones. It's not comfortable. But if we look with the eyes of faith, then in our cold church building this morning, we can see both meaning and message. First and most simply, we have a brief taste here today of what life is like for the millions in this country alone who struggle each and every night during the winter season just to stay warm. There are those who are homeless, those who have homes but cannot cover the cost of heating. And there are those who usually do enjoy the luxury, the necessity of heat, but who have suffered through storms and other natural disasters and now find that even the easy things in life are a struggle. May God always make us mindful of the needs of others as we pray before each meal. Second, the cold we feel this morning is not just a reminder of the cold through which many people suffer physically. This cold is also an icon of what life is like spiritually for so many people. You and I, we are what they call warm-blooded creatures. And that simply means that our bodies are designed to maintain a constant and fixed temperature. For most human beings, that temperature is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And a sign of good health, a sign of being alive and doing well, is that our bodies are able to maintain that target temperature. If a human being, however, has a body temperature that always moves up and moves down with the outside temperature, if you are someone whose body temperature goes up when the weather gets warmer, or someone whose body temperature goes down when it grows colder outside, if you are somebody whose body temperature tends to match the outside temperature, then guess what? You're dead. You're not alive. The only time the body temperature of a warm-blooded creature matches the rise and fall of the temperature outdoors is when that creature no longer has life inside of him. Brothers and sisters, so many in this world today no longer have life and strength inside of them to fight the spiritual winters which swirl all around. And in this world, so filled as it is with strife and division, competition, so filled as it is for many people with meaninglessness, in this world, each and every day, the spiritual forecast calls for, unfortunately, continued cold, for record low temperatures, for blizzards and ice storms. Relationships break. Persons break down. And there are fewer and fewer layers of love and fellowship and hope to keep us warm against those freezing winds of abandonment, the snowdrifts of neglect, the smothering avalanche of anxiety. For so many, life is lived within a spiritual icebox. For so many, there is no vivifying and radiant and warming fire of life. For many, their spiritual temperatures sink just as low as the cold which surrounds them in the world. Like the rich man in this morning's gospel, there is a tendency that we all have to build up walls of separation that insulate us from God and from the rest of the world. We find ourselves sinking more and more deeply into the deep shivers that are marking the lives of those that are isolated and cut off from everything that gives, in fact, true life. Even as we wrap our icy fingers around the dead treasures of this world. Like the rich man, with one hand we grasp after that treasure, and with one hand we push away everything else that truly gives life. Many are alive in this world only in a physical sense. But spiritually, all of creation is experienced by so many as a cosmic cemetery, to use the words of Father Alexander Schmemann. I mentioned that when I opened the church this morning, the temperature was 45 degrees. I did that, right? I mentioned it was 45 degrees. Yeah, the cold is getting to my head too. But guess what? It is already getting warmer in here. I checked a few moments ago, and it is already 57 degrees. And we're just getting started. Last night at the vigil, with just a small handful of people, we gathered and we worshiped and we gave thanks to God for the victory of life over death. And during our time together, the temperature in this building went from 45 degrees to 58 degrees, nearly to the normal setting for the heating system. And this morning, as we begin to enter more deeply into the joyous celebration of the mystery of God's love for us, as we sing, as we move, as we pray, as we light candles and bring our requests before God, as we become one with our Lord Jesus Christ, even as He and His Father and His Holy Spirit are one, the cold in this place will give way to increasing warmth. The temperature will rise. This morning, a message of deep meaning is unfolding in our midst. At the heart of the inner life of the Trinity is a divine fire of love, which is shared among Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this love, we know from the proclamation and teaching of the church, is a love that is active, it is ecstatic, it moves out from itself, and it moves into the world and into our lives. God's love, if we let it, kindles a flame that banishes cold and restores life. The rich man in the gospel this morning is really just a walking corpse. Someone who was dead spiritually. The rich man built up walls of isolation and separation, and in doing so, he sends his own heart into an even deeper freeze. But as the Apostle Paul proclaims this morning in his letter to the Ephesians, our God is a God that is best described as a demolition expert. He is someone who is not in the business of raising walls. He is in the business of tearing down walls, especially those that keep us alone and cold. This is the reading from Ephesians this morning. Verse 14, "For he himself is our peace. He made us one, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation. Our Lord brings us together. And now the small fires kindled by him in our hearts, when we're together, they might combine and grow into a divine bonfire of love." Verse 15, "He abolished in his flesh the enmity." That is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. Our Lord, says the Apostle Paul, abolishes the coldness of hatred and dead faith. And he makes peace by uniting us, making one from the many by huddling us together so that divine life and divine warmth might be shared. Verse 16, "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." We worship a God who gathers us into one body. He fixes the furnace, he pays the bills so that this enmity, this icy strife of human competition might be melted away. Verses 17 through 18, "And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Through our Lord and his Holy Spirit, we are gathered into the arms of the Father," is literally what the apostle is saying. The one place where we find true protection, the one place that we find everlasting warmth. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Brothers and sisters, our Lord builds for us a household in which there is room for the whole world and plenty of wood for the fire, a place where the warmth of the saints welcomes each and everybody who enters. Verse 20, we have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This household of God is one without drafts. It is one that has world-class insulation. The house of God is built on the preaching of God's love for this world and on his active presence in our midst. As our God moves and acts in our lives, we are warmed through this divine friction. And our faith in the preaching of the apostles ensures that the cold winds of this world will not suck away the comfort which our Lord gives to us. And finally, verses 21 through 22. In Jesus Christ, the whole building is fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And all of us are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the great message of joy, the message of hope, the message of wonder is that we are not brought by Jesus Christ to a building where the Father lives. The great message we proclaim, and it is the heart of the soul, and soul rather, of the feast day that we will celebrate next week, the entrance of the Theotokos into the temple. The great message that we proclaim is that Jesus Christ, through his cross and by his Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is building us together to become a dwelling place of the holy and triune God. And there's no better furnace than that. You and I are called forth to be the church and to be the place where divine radiance, divine warmth, illumination pours out into this world. It may be cold this morning, especially as we wait for a new furnace, but the warmth, brothers and sisters, is building in this place. And you and I, as members of the household of God, dwell in a place where the thermostat is always set high. May God grant us the resolve and the courage to open our doors and to heat this entire world. Amen.